Today we celebrate the first of God's champions and heroes, Saint Michael. He is the Prince of the Heavenly Hosts. And his story, it takes place at the very beginning of creation. It's interesting, the story that's related to us in Sacred Scripture, it comes from the book of the Apocalypse, so the last book of Sacred Scripture. St. John, he tells us that there was this great battle in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and the fallen angels. And we hear that story often enough, and it almost doesn't take effect on us because we take it for granted. And it almost sounds to us like a fantasy story or some kind of fiction. And this is something we have to battle against because of our fallen human nature. Mankind today has basically lost faith in everything. And angels are one of many things that people lose faith in. Angels are real. And angels, they make perfect sense when you think about it. In the beginning, God created two natures. He created the spiritual and he created the corporal. So the spirit world, and he created the body, earth as we know it. Men are the composite of both. We are both spirit and body. We have a body and a soul. So angels, we know, they're pure spirit. They don't have a body. They're pure intellect without a body. Plants and animals, they are corporal. They have a body, but they don't have a soul. They don't have an intellect, per se. They don't have a soul, per se. They don't have an intellect. Though they're living things. And so all creatures, they fall into this. There's a gradation in creation that God has established. Certain things reflect him more perfectly. Everything's a creature, but certain things have a higher perfection according to their order, according to what they are. And we see this especially with the angels. We know that there's a hierarchy of angels. There are some lower, there's some higher. In fact, there are 9 choirs or ranks of angels. They all have a rank, they all have a function, they all have a job to do. God gives them a specific job to do. We know that Lucifer, his name, that means light bearer. He was of the highest order, the highest choir of angels. He belonged to the seraphim, which means fire bearer or light angel. And he was before the throne of God. He was the highest of the highest angels, gifted, the highest angel gifted with all the beauty of that angels could be bestowed with, the most excellent, the most gifted. But when the time came, when there was that test, when the angels, many theologians believe the test was that they saw the incarnation. Our God revealed to them that Christ, the Son of Man, would become man. And he would take on a human form. And the angels, with their nature, so much higher than a human, their intellect far, far exceeding that of a human being. Lucifer said, "I will not serve." Non serviam. And so the highest creature fell. And we know angels, since they have an intellect, they don't have to gather information like we do over a time period. They are bestowed with an intellect that has a certain capacity, and they know instantly. So when Lucifer fell, it was pure malice. That's why there was no second chance, because it was a choice of pure intellect. Not like we do, how we fall on human weakness. The angels have a certain sense of a certain kind of weakness, but not a human concupiscence type weakness. So when they fell, there was no second chance. Now you might be asking yourself, what choir, what rank did Saint Michael belong to? And you might say to yourself, well, of course, he's Saint Michael the Archangel. But we also say that Saint Michael is the prince of all the angels. Therefore, he's the highest. But how does that work when the archangels are much lower than the cherubim, seraphim, thrones, dominations, principalities, etc.? The archangels are much lower. How is that possible? Well, this makes a lot of sense when you take into consideration the gospel for today, the gospel chosen for St. Michael's feast. You would think initially that it would be something more from the Apocalypse or something along that lines, talking about the power of the angels and that great battle. You would think it would be something like that. But it's actually taken from St. Matthew. And it's one of the events in our Lord's life, very familiar to us, where our Lord, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they ask to him, "Who is the greatest in heaven?" And our Lord, he calls a little child and he says, "Unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So just as we see that God uses the weak and humble to confound the proud with regard to humans, first this happened with the angels. St. Thomas Aquinas, and other theologians, they believe that St. Michael belonged to the order of just angels, the lowest order. An archangel is a step up from that. It's like a nomination or a position of honor with the archangels that we know of, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael. But St. Michael, these theologians, they hold that he was just of the lowest choir. He was just an angel. And so this shows to us the great humility, courage, and the willingness to fight on the part of Michael. How when Lucifer said, "I will not serve," Michael was there, much lower in nature than Lucifer. Much lower. It would be like the comparison of a child to a strong man, like a David to a Goliath. That's what it was like. And St. Michael, he became great because he completely forgot self. He recognized, as opposed to Lucifer, that greatness comes from humility. Recognizing that we are mere creatures and God is in command and he orders everything according to his will, that is how you achieve greatness, not through your own will. And so that's the first point I want to drive home to you today about St. Michael. Many times we think about him and we just think about his power and his strength and all those good attributes of St. Michael. The greatest strength of St. Michael right off the bat, and the lesson that we should learn, is humility equals greatness. If you want to be great, you must humble yourself beneath the lowest person. The second lesson that we should learn from St. Michael today is that we must fight. We are the church militant. Militant comes from the Latin word milites, which means soldier. We are soldiers in battle. And we should ask ourselves, when we think about St. Michael, reflect, why do I seek after a peaceful life on this earth? Why do I do that? Because we know that that's unattainable here. It's not possible in this earth, in this fallen state that we live in, fallen human nature. It is not possible to have an everlasting peace here. It's not possible. The earth is a battlefield. There is no worldly peace in battle. There is only supernatural peace in battle. There is no rest in battle. So we have to struggle. The church has to struggle. The church has to fight. We see this about St. Michael. There's obviously something wrong if the church is not being attacked. We see this today, of course, in the modern church. The modern church is friends with the world. It's not being attacked. It's best friends with the world. So obviously it can't be Christ's church. And we see, with especially all those events that we see in happening all around us in this horrible world that we live in, the devil is very real. He wants to appear as hidden. He wants to appear as disguised, not really functioning. But the devil does not sleep. As scripture says, he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he wants to devour. He does not sleep. He does not rest. He is always seeking our spiritual demise. He has no other goal because he has this heightened intellect. He knows that he doesn't have that much time. Remember, he's outside of time. He's a spiritual being. He doesn't have a body. He's not bound by the laws of physics. That's a terrifying thought. This thing, this being, is basically hunting us. It wants us dead. It's a terrifying thought. And we know that the world is very attractive. The devil is very, very good at disguising evil as something that is attractive and good. He knows us better than we know ourselves, especially for young people today. Those temptations of the world, they are constantly trying to divide your heart from God, constantly trying to tempt you to make you think that the world is all great and that it's fine to live in sin, habits of sin are fine, and that you can, it's all fine. We live in a world where it's a very godless culture, where the culture portrays people who live in habits of sin, habitual sin, as being good people. That looks, it's portrayed as being cool. It's portrayed as being attractive. There's nothing attractive about it because it is death. It means death. Seeking after virtue is laughed at as something for old people. This all changes when we look at St. Michael. When we look at the spiritual, when we take our mind off the world that we have to constantly live in, and we truly strive to see with the eyes of faith that there are angels all around us. We can't see them. They exist. Just as there are millions of people on the earth, there are millions and millions of angels. Creatures with intellect, just like we have, but an intellect much higher, but they don't have bodies. And so we should think about this battle. St. Michael is showing to us we are living in a battle. This world is a battle. Now, if we want to take that a step further and really put the imagery somewhere concrete, where is the front line of that battle? Where is that? Men die every single day on the front line of battle. Where is it? That's right outside your door at home. That's right outside the door at church. The world is the battlefield. All those influences of the world, they're clamoring at your door. They're coming through the media. Now the internet is another door into your home. Those are ways the devil is going to attack. And now this seems very disheartening because we look at the devil and we see how powerful he is, how he has this heightened intellect. He knows everything about us. He's so much more powerful than we. And we would be absolutely foolish to think that we can take him head on. His nature is beyond us. And so we need God's grace. We need heavenly protection. We need spiritual protection. Without it, we will fail. Absolutely. And so we need grace. We need to pray. We need to get those graces. We need to call upon Our Lady in time of temptation. We need to call upon St. Michael. We need to pray to our Lord to help us grow in virtue. It doesn't just happen. You can't just walk out into battle without a weapon, without having armor on, and expect not to get killed. So we must fight. St. Michael teaches us that. The last thing St. Michael teaches us today on his feast is that we have to be courageous. We see that in his humility. When he stood up to Lucifer and became the prince of all the angels, we see that we as Catholics, we have to be courageous in this world. probably more so than any time in human history, we have to be courageous. You know, it might have been easier to be courageous in the time of the Middle Ages, where you could go on a crusade and there was all this glamour attached to it. It might have been a very hard lifestyle, but there was a tangible, it looked like you were going into battle. So it was very easy to see, this is a battle, this is a spiritual battle. Today, we don't have that. We're not being attacked physically. Our lives are so easy that we forget that we're in a battle. That's why we have to have more courage. More courage as someone that can see the enemy. We don't see the enemy, even though it's the same exact battle. We know that the courageous man is not the one who doesn't experience fear. Fear is not opposed to courage, but the courageous man is one who doesn't let it stop him. He continues. He overcomes it. The courageous man does not leave the battlefield. He recognizes it. He stays there because he knows he can't get out of it. He knows he has to fight and put everything he has on the line to achieve the goal. What is the goal? Salvation of his soul. And so the realization of all these things, it's rooted in faith. If you want to grow in virtue and avoid sin, you need a greater faith to be able to see these things as they truly are. The courageous and humble man says to himself, alone I will fail, but with God's grace I can do all things. The coward, on the other hand, he gives up fighting. He says, I can't do it. There's too much going on. I might as well just give in. I might as well just roll over and die. That is the coward. He's too concerned with his life, or he flees the battlefield, tries to flee and then gets killed on the way, trying to get to some sense of safety. There is no safety. Safety is only in heaven. There is no safety here on earth. It's a battlefield. It's a very beautiful thing, closing with all these thoughts. The fact that God and his absolute intelligence and his beauty in creation, he has created these beings, angels that have an intellect, men who have an intellect. And obviously we are connected in this battle. The angels are connected with us in our struggle for salvation. They are connected, intimately connected with us. They share in that common thread that we have an intellect. We can know God. We can will good. And so while thinking about St. Michael today, calling upon him in prayer, thinking about how we must be humble if we want to be great, we have to realize and refocus our mind that we are truly at war and we have to be courageous. Thinking about these things, I want to leave you with one quote, and this is from the liturgical year. This could be a sermon in itself, this quote, but I'll leave you with this. The creature is forever finite. That means he's ever a creature. But man endowed with a reasoning intellect and an angel, they both have an intellect, with an intuitive grasp of truth, or ever by a continual process of purification, widening the bounds of their imperfect nature in order to reach, by increase of light, the perfection of greater love. You couldn't say that any better. We are connected with the angels. They are here to help us, St. Michael especially. Let us call upon him and seek his protection. Quis ut Deus, who is like God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.